Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I am Leah.
Welcome
now,
back.
Okay, now who are you?
You know me, you love me, and I have not yet been replaced.
Wow, her clear bell-like voice is sounding a little strident.
A little strident bells, yeah.
There were a lot of people on the old internet being like, yeah. Oh, Blurb was great, Blurb was wonderful, can Blurb be there permanently? Blurb should be there all the time. Can we just have Blurb? No, you have me.
We have Leah at home, and you like her. You'll remember tonight how much you like her.
Yeah, probably you'll get as good reviews as Blurb did after this episode, Leah. Probably everybody will come
Should
in there saying what a good job you did.
A poll on the Social Suplex Network Discord after this app comes out being like Blurb or Leah.
Yeah, I think everyone would really
everyone would
that
like
the
that,
spirit
I think. That Leah, we're just kidding. We missed you. We loved you. Having Blurb. Blurb was a perfect guest. She'll be back. We missed you so much, though.
I miss you guys. And you guys did fabulous. Blurb did fabulous. I really enjoyed listening to the episode. And I loved all of the contract stuff. I loved feeling like, you know, at all times, Blurb could be waiting. I will say it did hurt my feelings when you guys considered replacing me permanently with Gangirl. You know, I felt like maybe that was a little far.
I don't know if we can afford Gangirl for every episode.
And that's really the only thing stopping us. It's just, you know what?
But people, if you'd rather have Gangirl, just start donating
just start
to the
compensating us.
Social Suplex Network. You can donate right to our show. It's in the show notes. And
if we get enough money to hire Gangirl every week, we will.
Yeah, that's where that money will be earmarked for. Yeah.
Can't wait till Gangirl plays the dating game.
Can't wait to ask Gangirl if he's ever seen Cope and Christian kissing.
Oh my God, I can't wait to hear what he says. What if he was just like, yeah, all the time?
Yeah,
like,
constantly.
What if that was a huge scoop, actually? Like, just no one's ever asked before, so he hadn't thought that people would be interested.
Dave Meltzer having to be out there be like, and on the Tunnel Talk podcast.
Or first he says he heard it, and Rich Latta has to bully him into admitting
right.
it, that he heard it here.
Please credit Tunnel
heard
Talk
it where,
Pod.
Dave? Wow, that'll be fun. I can't wait for our Gangirl era. That's going to be really cool. I kept thinking, while Christian was doing his promo this week, I kept thinking, like, what if he did just bring back Gangirl, though? What if he just went back to that, like, that kind of that Bloodsport moment?
Do you think Why everyone not? Gets really mad that we, like, remember Gangirl so specifically and, like, no other old wrestler?
Maybe.
I don't know what people get mad about.
It can't be at the top of the list of things that people get mad at us for. We're pretty mad at a lot of things.
They have a list, yeah. I'm pretty sure they have, like, a whole list.
I'd love to see someone's top 10 list of grievances. And they're wrestling fans, so they'd love to make a little top 10 list.
Listen, when we get our hater on the pod.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah.
That'd be huge.
Yeah.
What if the hater replaces you?
What if the hater does such a good job? We're like, yeah, they're right. This would be better.
It's so dangerous to take even 1 week off on this podcast because immediately it's just like gamified new host position. We're like, you're in danger now until the next person takes a week off. So that's and then it's coming for you.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous.
She's quaking in her boots. Okay, well. Well, we're very happy that you're back. It was a point of some contention, I would say. Blurb, of course, said what was making her happy last week. And what the listeners didn't hear before the show was that Ian said, but Leah, of course, has to have her week next week. And I was feeling really hot. Like, it's so muggy
said,
and
no,
humid.
No, she won't. I'm scared. I can't make her. And I said, you're weak. You're weak, and I'm disappointed in you, is what I said.
It really hurt me. It was, and when mommy says that about me, I really felt scared.
We really put you in a vise because when we were planning this, I said Blurb will be taking my place, and Anne said she won't, and I immediately hopped into Allie's DMs and I said
she did this to me.
I won't be doing that.
That's what Anne doesn't know.
You wouldn't say it to my face.
I know. Privately,
you're not the what makes me happy decision maker. I went straight to the source.
I'm a stakeholder.
I said I am stressed. I'm under quite a lot of stress. I won't be doing that.
She said that as a birthday gift, she wouldn't make you do it this time.
Oh
and I
God.
Said, then won't 3 weeks from now be her actual birthday? And then she'll have to do it then. And Allie said, yes.
Yeah.
I said, that's her punishment. And then I said, the thing that's making her happy can't be her birthday. So start thinking now. Okay?
And nobody, I accept that.
And girls, don't you ever put me in the middle like this again. Because it's been really frightening for me, to be honest.
I was saying everything in public to both of you. And Leah was the one going to put pressure on you privately, which I think was inappropriate.
She pulled me aside for a chat.
I'm going to pull you aside for a chat. Now I think as punishment she should say what's making her happy.
I'm so scared.
Let's get Blur back on the podcast. I'm sick of it.
Get Gang Girl.
We need a mediator.
Gang Girl would tell us what's making him happy. Gang Girl's a good sport.
Gang Girl would be like, I'm happy that you're paying me to do this for some reason.
Do you think when he gets paid to podcast, he wears the teeth?
I feel like he asks you if you want that. Don't you think that's part of the negotiation where he's like, do you want like normal guy or do you want like teeth in, you know, makeup?
Like, yeah, I think that he'd probably get that out of the way at the front of the scene. I don't know why, but did Gang Girl not get dental surgery to get those teeth permanently?
He did. He got
okay. Oh, that's, yeah. I forgot.
I can't believe that I remembered that.
But again, for some reason, we've remembered everything we've ever learned about Gang Girl, despite the fact of not learning anything about guys we see all the time.
Yeah, we don't. I mean, the number of things that I didn't know when doing this schedule. Anyway, listen, now that we've had this all out in public, and I think that probably we're all feeling really refreshed to have it all out there, and some of us aren't even that scared anymore. We're becoming very brave.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I can't make eye contact. I will be
we're becoming very brave, she says, as she lets Leah get away with us. But go ahead. Brave.
Well, I'm going to say what's making me happy. And actually, I think that it's something that I believe has also made Leah very happy in her life. She just wouldn't have thought of it because she didn't have the experience that I did this week of I kept thinking about
she wouldn't have thought of it because she's lazy as hell when it comes to what's making us happy.
I've made this clear. It is not a lazy issue. It's a privacy issue.
Okay, that's crazy. Well, and you know what? We can't litigate that again. I, this week, kept thinking about, last week I was like, what if MJF did a gimmick where he hates all men? And I was like, what does that keep making me think of? And I realized that it was the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend song Let's Generalize About Men. And so I went and I put it on, and then something so familiar happened, and it's happened to me 100 times before. And it's called, you're listening to one Crazy Ex-Girlfriend song on YouTube, and then that's the next 2 hours of your life. It's just listening to Crazy Ex-Girlfriend songs, watching the end listening to Crazy Ex-Girlfriend songs. Mm-hmm. These are some of the most valuable, entertaining hours that you can spend on a computer, on any device, really. Mm-hmm. And for me, It's a doubly like wonderful thing because after I've listened to 4 or 5 songs, suddenly I'm like, oh my God, right. And Adam Schlesinger did this. Yeah. And the love of my literal life, Adam Schlesinger, a literal genius, mm-hmm. who was one of the first celebrities to die of COVID. So it's like immediately you knew like, fuck, this is bad. Yeah. This is bad. Since a fucking icon has been taken from us. I know. Adam Schlesinger.
So, there'll never be another good song on a show or movie again.
Never. And so then I went down my other rabbit hole where, as you guys know, sometimes I will just start listening to a ton of Fountains of Wayne songs and then I'll like tell all of my friends, like, been crying about Fountains of Wayne. Been crying because Adam Schlesinger's dead, because I was listening to Red Dragon Tattoo. So it's really the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend thing, but I'm saying that there's like a second layer to it, which is just like the songs are amazing and so fun. And then you just think like, and this was some of the last work that we got from one of the true greats.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Do you think anybody's put together a playlist on Spotify of like all his Crazy Ex-Girlfriend songs, like the Josie and the Pussycats soundtrack and Fountain of Wayne, like all together, just like an Adam Schlesinger
master track. You'd hope so. That Thing You Do on there. Yeah. He wrote such for a good song. It was the Hugh Grant drew music lyrics.
Yeah.
Those were really good too. I mean, apparently I found out during this week's Google that he used to write songs for Sesame Street too.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he worked for Sesame Street. I think he only wrote a couple, But then I listened to one of them and I cried a little because it was really moving. And he was so good. He was really so good.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like when you listen to A Little Fountains of Wayne, it takes me to another place. That place is New Jersey. It takes me. It's New Jersey, 1996. I love being there.
Do you remember, and I actually think you were in that conversation as well, getting invited into a group chat with Trish, and within 24 hours, someone made a pretty, it might have been Trish herself, a pretty casual and off-the-cuff like joke that was like, and Fountain of Wayne is like, you know, one hit wonders, and our heads spin around backwards and was like, Fountains of Wayne is actually a really important band and they're actually fundamental.
It was, I think it was some of our, like, we really pride ourselves on being like civilized internet denizens. We enter a new space, we're like, we take the temperature, we, you know, we want to be polite, we don't want to overwhelm, you know. It was a moment where it was like, I'm not civilized. I'm crazy.
You take that back.
You can't say that about Fountains of Wayne in front of me. You absolutely can't. I take
it back. It really was. Do you remember the scene on Community where, like, Jeff makes an offhand crack at about Bare Naked Ladies and everyone freaks out and they're like, Bare Naked Ladies have won 10 Grammy Awards. How many have you won? That was basically what we did. Yeah.
But we were right to do it. What else can I say? Like... It's like if you don't know about Mexican wine, I don't know what to say to you. You know, you don't know about Bright Future in Sales. You don't know about Valley Winter Song. Grow up, okay?
Yeah. I do think I hadn't realized that Adam Schlesinger had written like every song I'd ever loved out of like a TV show or movie until like I think in a conversation in our group chat where it was like, oh, am I a huge Fountains of Wayne fan without knowing it?
Almost every time I look him up, and it happens a lot, actually, I find out something new that he did that it's just like, oh, God, we don't have anyone else. No one else is doing this work.
It's crazy. Yeah.
So that's everything you need to know about why that fucking Fleetwood Mac ripoff TV show sucked ass, because they didn't have, if they'd had Adam Schlesinger... Maybe they could have written some actual listenable songs.
Yeah.
That's true. And they keep doing movies that are, like, kind of based around, like, that, like, One Direction ripoff one.
Oh, God. That was bad. Yeah.
And even Trapped could have used an Adam Schlesinger.
I know. It was unfortunate because I think it was supposed to be a little showpiece for M. Night Shyamalan's pop star daughter. But, you know, even the greatest pop stars could use an Adam Schlesinger now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think that maybe they're greenlighting these because, like, people are just like, yeah, and there have been lots of good songs in movies, so surely someone can do it. And they also haven't done the research. And then somewhere in the process, they're like, it was all Adam. God.
No one can do it.
Nobody can do it.
No one who can write a perfect song in any genre at any time.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I do think someone somewhere is like, how hard can it be? And then it's like, turns out incredibly hard.
Fucking hard. And it's crazy to look at because I was like, what are all the songs that were ever on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend? So I brought up a list and just going through them, it's like the number of these that are memorable.
Yeah.
Bops.
Catchy.
Is,
yeah.
It's unreal. It's statistically improbable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And apparently when he died, he and, what's her name? Rebecca Bloom. They were working on a musical based on The Nanny.
Oh my God. That sucks.
COVID.
That's fucked up.
That is fucked up. He wasn't very old either. No. So fucked up.
He had so many years left.
Yeah, we could have gotten 40 more years of
Schlesinger
Nanny musicals.
Anyway, so not to start that up on kind of a, it's a happy note, but a bummer note too, because this is all we have. And so treasure it. So these songs are precious. So what I would say is open up YouTube, type in the first Crazy Ex-Girlfriend song that comes to mind. If one doesn't come to mind, what's wrong with you? What's going wrong? Just type one in and let, for once, with no fears or worries, let the algorithm bear you away.
You know, there was one year where I was going through so much poor mental health that You Stupid Bitch was in my Spotify, like, top 10.
I mean, it's a good song.
That is an indicator, though. That is,
it's not good.
Like, you see that, you're like, ooh,
it's a cry for help, for sure.
This year.
Did you post that Spotify rap to your socials?
No.
I just kept
that one under. I said, no, we don't need to get into all that.
That's between us, Spotify.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well,
speaking of stupid bitches.
Speaking of stupid bitches, this week on Collision, Mox came out to the ring and was like, Darby Allin, remember 6 months ago when I literally murdered you? I pushed you down a flight of stairs and you're supposed to be dead. I thought you were dead. And now you're back. And then he had this whole thing. He said, you've been here for a few weeks, hanging out on the balcony. I know you're here. I don't know if you're in the lounge area at the bar, hiding out in the bathroom or something. I know you're here. Why don't you come out and show yourself? I ain't got time for this. I ain't stupid. I just want to say up front, immediately, I was like, he's treating Darby like you're bad cat. Like, you're ill-behaved cat, and it's like you're trying to go to the vet or something, and you're like, I know you're here. I know you're here. He's looking under furniture. I know you're here. I'm not stupid. Darby appears on an upper-level banister. I guess it gets spotlit. And Mox says, why don't you get your little skater boy ass down here, get in this ring, and we can have that tough conversation one last time. Hey, mother, hey, you stupid, you come back here and look at me when I'm talking to you. Now he's both a cat and a child.
I was obsessed with that because I was like, well, if he's going to come down to the ring, he's got to go backwards and then go down the stairs and come out. Like,
that's right.
Did
that's
you think he was going to fly down?
Okay, but think about who you're talking about.
Yeah,
if, I think Mox knows, like, if he didn't coffin drop, he's not coming out here. Because surely it would be the great joy of Darby's life to be like, you want me to come down to the ring? I'll just coffin drop off this banister. That'd be my pleasure.
He's already wearing a harness otherwise. Yeah. Just like, ready to go.
Tony Khan wouldn't let him go out there without a harness because he was like, I know he's going to try to coffin drop.
Yeah, and there's nobody to catch him. He's going to slam his little head right on the ground.
Yeah, I would believe that he was like, Tony, please let me. And Tony was like, no. I said no. I'm practicing setting boundaries.
Darby's
no.
Just walking around in a harness full time, like a child, like on a leash on a cruise ship.
Honestly, that could be convenient because, like, it's because he wants to do dangerous stuff. But you do just put a leash on him sometimes, and then he just looks betrayed. Like, why would you? Why can't I go anywhere? Because you're a danger to yourself and others. Just cool it. So Mox goes barging off out of the ring in pursuit of Darby. And there's another segment where he and the Death Riders are in the caverns of the ballroom, being like, here, Darby, 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 come on out, young fella. There's nothing to be afraid of. At which point, Darby catches Mox unawares and I guess drags him. I thought he had a chloroform rag, which I was really excited about for some reason, but I think he just dragged him out and tried to throw him onto some train tracks, and security stopped him from doing so.
I'd really love to see Mox tied to some train tracks, distress. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be some of the, that would be, he could win Ham of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
And he's really got those that cartoon energy for it, you know? Like,
mm-hmm. Now more than ever. I mean, he's really.
And then Eddie could come rescue him.
Eddie could come rescue little Darby or a little Mox.
Mox.
Yeah, I got confused. I don't know why that happened.
I mean, I would also like to see Darby tied to some train tracks, but he would be like a wet cat about it. Whereas I think
different energy.
Mox would be like wiggling like a little worm, being like, oh no.
Oh no. Officer, please.
Won't someone come save me? There's a train bearing down on me.
Oh, God, the energy tonight. I do think that Darby's side would be, he'd just be so cranky. Like, he's like, I'm going to die. This isn't even fun. This isn't fun for me.
He was hoping he'd die, you know, like jumping a monster truck over a house.
Yeah.
Right. He wants to be an active part of it. He wants to be like, Darby died while doing X. He's like,
please let me be the cause of my own demise.
He's like, can I jump off a train? I'll do that.
Yeah.
It would be like you rescue him and immediately he's like, should we try and fucking hop the train? And then should we like ride like on top of it? And should we have a fight? And it's just like, I rescued you. None of that has to happen. You're fine. We're safe. Just let the train go by. All right. So then on Dynamite, Mox fought Speedball Mike Bailey. And it's not for us to know why that happened, you know? Could it be because of backstage shoot reasons? Maybe.
Maybe. There's some fun little rumors flying around in the old IWC, and then journalists all jump in to say, I heard that too,
which I think is
real
too.
Cool. And what you see the Wall Street Journal doing, you know, really, when some other newspaper reports it. Oh, I heard that. I heard that months ago, actually.
The kind of a top, like, Washington Post headline, like, we heard that too. yeah, I think that the news this week was that everyone was like, MVP hates Speedball Mike Bailey. And then I guess backstage they were like, we can't have people saying that kind of thing about Speedball Mike Bailey. Let's get them in some matches. Let's get them in some matches fast.
It's called damage control. I really went for it, which is so funny considering the things that they have not damage controlled.
I think maybe Tony is now taking backstage heat very carefully. And he's like, oh, do you guys not like each other? Should we all get into therapy about it?
I hope he's paid for a permanent backstage therapist mediator. And so it's like the second there's a hint of a problem, he's like, down the hall to the left, room 305. And I don't want to see you again until you figured it out. And I do get a report from the therapist. And if they're mandating more sessions, I will be told.
Yeah.
They like come down the hall with a little form from Tony Khan that they have to get the therapist to sign before they can leave.
That's my new favorite match. Okay, so he fights Speedball Mike Bailey. I think no one was supposed to be ringside, but of course the Death Riders were trying to interfere, so Speedball's normal lover, Kevin Knight, got in there to defend him, which is beautiful. Darby Allin also appeared to, the recap said, incapacitate and drag off Wheeler Yuta, which I love. Made him sound like just a little rabbit animal.
Yeah.
So Mox wins the match. And then takes off after Darby and Yuta. And eventually, he and Marina, I think, maybe Claudia was there, who knows. They find Yuta stuffed into a body bag outside the arena with a note reading, Forbidden Door, stuck to his forehead. And Darby drives by cheerfully in a big car. Like, I think I've said everything that has to be said.
Yuta really looked, like, so traumatized, too. He looked like he was about to cry. And I mean, I'm sure being stuffed in a body bag with a sign stapled to your forehead isn't a fun experience, but it wasn't tough.
No, he was very embarrassed. And Darby looked so smug about it. Like, when he came by in the truck, he was like, did you see the note? Did you see that? That was so cool.
Isn't that fun? You didn't know it was in there, but then you unzipped it. Forbidden door. Forbidden door, baby. I have to say, okay, so first of all, I thought this match rocked. I thought it was really, really fun.
Yeah.
Speedball's wrestling is so, like, it's just very, you know, what am I
startling
trying to say?
At times.
Startling. Yeah. Like, it gets your attention. Tension grabbing.
Yeah.
So crisp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and they're doing flips in, like, it just felt like innovative ways. They did weird things with them, which I enjoyed a lot.
Yeah.
And Mox also seemed, like, really animated and there. And I didn't notice this when we were watching the show, but I saw on Twitter that spot where Mox, like, disappears off camera and Speedball's going to, like, jump on him. And then he's, like, suddenly in the ring again. And it did. The way that they videotaped it was like, oh, that looks so magical. Yeah. That looks really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I really think it's very visible how much fun Mox is having again. And when Mox is having fun, I'm having fun. So
I know.
I'm very pleased.
And I am now just fully like, and the Bucks did that. The Bucks came back and they said, hey, I think you forgot what a fucking blast this is supposed to be.
Guys, should we have fun?
Should we have fun? You just be our middleman for one night and you'll remember why you loved this.
Don't you think Mox's energy in kayfabe is so funny, too? Because his vibe is really like, did I get beat? I don't feel like I did. And it's like he's not playing it like he's delusional, like in a way where like the walls are closing in on him. It's just like he genuinely.
He's like he's just not onboarding it whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
he's
like, has not acknowledged it.
No, he's like, I don't give a shit about
that. His mind is protecting
it. Yeah, yeah. I'm really focused. I'm really drilling down on Darby. That's the root of all my problems right now.
Yeah, and I'm going to solve that. Don't worry about it. And I've got the belt. I mean, I haven't seen the belt. It's in a briefcase. So
it's no one's seen the belt. So it's not much different than the past 8 months, is it? He also mocks what Mox did to Speedball's fingers and hands in this match was like Is this okay?
Like, I literally thought he was trying to, like, suck the ring off of Speedball's finger for a bit, which I was like...
I did also think of that part from the animated Robin Hood, where he's, like, sucking the jewels off his ring.
And I was like, oh, no, I guess he's just trying to break his fingers, but there was this strange energy.
There was a wet energy.
A very wet, a wet energy, yeah.
Mox is the ultimate king of extremely erotic violence. We're just
Okay.
And he's always looking for new things to do. Like, he's like, I've done, like, kissy and a back scratch a lot. Is there something I could do that, like, would titillate and concern people in equal parts that's new? Like, I guess suck on a man's fingers real hardcore in the middle of the match. Yeah, you have my attention, sir.
Yeah, no problem at all. And he and Kevin Knight did a kissing pose that was so erotic
and I
was not expecting.
I was startled. I was I sat up.
Yeah.
And they're going to fight next week.
Yeah. And that's, you know, on your Love Islands, when a couple gets put together like Kevin Knight and Speedball have been, this kind of thing is called testing the relationship and is very important exploring other connections.
Oh, yeah. So. And if Mox is the hot new bombshell.
Mox is the bombshell. And if the test goes well, then maybe Speedball and Kevin will be exclusive. But close it off.
Wow. Well, I hope that, I mean, in this case, it's like, I feel like, you know what, I'm not sure I can say anything. So actually, let's actually move on. any overall Darby Mox feud thoughts before we cut to the ancillary topic?
I'll only just say that when Darby first came out of the balcony, he had a little bit of a Phantom of the Opera vibe where he, like, swooshed his, like, shoulders in this way where he was like, Christine, I've been watching you.
Okay, the idea of Darby as the Phantom and Mox as Christine.
It is pretty perfect, yeah, when you say it that way.
And then who is his Raoul? That's the real question. Oh my god. Wow. I wish we were just having like a Phantom of the Opera sing along, right?
Should we completely ignore the rest of the schedule and just Spotify share some tunes?
Yeah, I mean, like, I know we can't, but like, I don't know, should we be bad?
They'd be like, the new episode of Town Talk, well, the first 20 minutes were good and then I don't know. You'll have to listen to it.
I love the first 20 minutes are good. We didn't talk about wrestling in those. Like there were about like 5 clear minutes of wrestling talk, and then they transitioned into their Phantom of the Opera sing-along. All right. I agree with that. That's great. Okay. So MJF opened Dynamite with a backstage promo in which he said, Seabiscuit, because of your cowardice, you refuse to give me a world title shot here in AEW unless I execute my contract. Because of that fact, one of your close friends is going to pay. And then he transitioned into this promo he was cutting about Mark Briscoe. He said that Mark Briscoe probably won't go to heaven to see his brother again because MJF is going to drag him to hell. And then he called Delaware a dumpster fire. And I want to say we're just happy to be acknowledged. We are just happy to be acknowledged. And I don't.
It does kind of feel great to get trash talked when you're from a smaller state, doesn't it?
It feels so good. I think you guys actually got to see a really classic little moment when we were at All In. And Mark Briscoe came out, and I got to turn to my brother and go, oh, my God, and he's from Delaware. And my brother was like, he's from Delaware? And his wife, Melissa, was between us being like, yeah, people are from Delaware. It's like, you don't understand, okay? We're the second smallest state, so.
Are you really the second smallest? Wow.
Yeah, only Rhode Island is smaller.
Population or land area? Or both?
I don't know. I actually don't know. I mean, I have to imagine. Actually, I don't know. Because then I suddenly thought, like, how many people are in Montana? 3?
Yeah, so. I think Wyoming's the smallest state population-wise, actually, so.
Yeah, so it must be land area. It's very little state. Mm. Hey, should we have some more Delaware facts? Let's transition into that for another cool 20, and then, okay. MJF and Briscoe main evented. I think the match was fine, but I was quite sleepy, and I can't say that I was super invested in this. MJF won by pinfall because the ref missed that Mark Briscoe had his foot on the ropes. MJF then continued to attack him with the Dynamite Diamond Ring until Hangman marched out for a bit of a brawl. He attempted to buckshot MJF, like kind of hauled MJF into the ring and attempted to buckshot him, and MJF slithered out. MJF had also gotten finally fired from the Hurt Syndicate. He got his third, you hate to see it, his third thumbs down from MVP earlier in the night. So not, in some ways, a good night for him, but in some ways bad.
I will say I did like the face acting he was doing while MVP was kicking him out, because he was very subdued and very like little boy sad in a way, and that worked for me.
There was a vibe of like, nothing's gone right for me this year, and I really had all my eggs in this basket, and now I really don't know what to do because I had a lot riding on this, which I liked.
Yeah. I thought his energy in that scene, I agree that he had that sad little boy vibe, and it did make you feel like MJF is quite, should be as a character, quite manipulatable in a way that like people often don't seem to try and manipulate him that much.
Yeah, right.
And they should, because he's really susceptible. Oh, yeah. Like, you know, it's like, say one nice thing to him. Like.
Right. That's the thing people should have taken away from the Adam Cole thing, is that it's like, you really, it doesn't take that many nice things before MJF's like, should we be best friends?
Yeah. It's like, someone should be trying to use MJF.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a change instead of, and it was very funny too, like in this whole segment, MJF was like, MVP, leave those guys behind, and like, you can help me win the belt. And it's like, how? I thought we just wanted them for their muscles. Like, what was the plan? Right. What was ever the plan here?
We but saw that, MVP wrestle. It's not going to help you out.
No. But I did like that that speech was like a little like, choose me. Pick me.
Pick me.
Love me.
And MVP no wonder, like, no,
typical
no.
Man.
Typical man.
Typical man.
Let's generalize about man.
I did think also in the him beating up Mark Briscoe, like the vibe was very like he was still so upset about the MVP thing that he was really like losing his mind and taking it out on Mark Briscoe, which I thought he also like conveyed pretty well. So, I mean, still not happy with MJF due to his behaviors, but I did think this was a good episode for him.
And it does feel like he's winning the breakup with the Hurt Syndicate. Like,
yeah, I mean, that contrast isn't hurting anything for sure. No.
Although, of course, to reiterate, no, it doesn't make sense. The amount of time that we've spent on that whole storyline and then how it's ended, of course, that makes absolutely no sense. But at the same time, it's a breakup, so someone's got to win it. And it does seem to be MJF.
Maybe MJF's genius plan the whole time was like, I'm going to win the breakup, so we don't have to have any content for the relationship.
Yes, he's been playing four-dimensional chess from the very start. He says, I'll get them so angry with me, they can't bear it. But then, somehow.
Before we move on, I will also just say a minor thing about Mark Briscoe.
Yeah.
I think it's crazy that, wrestlers are all crazy, so I'm acknowledging that I just am a different breed, but it's crazy that Mark Briscoe lets MJF go so hard on his dead brother and then loses. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. I understand that wrestlers receive some sort of like grief, you know, acceptance thing from using that in promos. I do get that, but I'm like, it's crazy that he lets MJF say this craziest shit about his dead brother and it's like, now go lay down.
It does feel like a time when you're like, maybe it'd be nicer to win, but I guess you just can't always get what you want, you know?
I mean, it's respectable in Mark Briscoe that he doesn't mind losing. It's just the juxtaposition sometimes gets me where I'm like, I simply wouldn't let him do that.
I would never let a man talk to me like that. That's what I think often about. I would never let a man talk to me like that. Absolutely not. I'd like to just say really quick, like, about how Hangman Adam Page looked in that white shirt when he came out to deal with this situation.
Was there something you liked?
A wooga.
You saw something you liked?
I saw.
What did you see that you liked?
Boob. I saw.
You know, pretty frequently.
Your Honor?
Pretty frequently when I'm looking at Hangman, I just think, you know, long hair, no bra. Oh. My type.
That's my Hangman. I'd like to see you in a short skirt and a long jacket, if you know what I mean. I don't know. Like, there's something about when a man is wearing that white t-shirt and you see the boob under, it's better than the bare boob. It's literally better.
His nips were really out too. I mean, he was like Kardashian molded bra
situation. Maybe he had that molded bra on. Oh God, maybe he's wearing that molded bra.
He's too ethical. He's too ethical.
You're right. He'd be like, never buy Kardashian.
It's my nipple Skims. Or we're not playing. Backstage, Tony Khan's like, do you want some fake nipple? I won't allow that.
All natural nipple is the ethical choice. Ethical.
Tony's like, WBD says that we can't show the shape of a real nipple. It has to be a Skims brand fake nipple.
Skims brand. It's called Corporate Synergy. Our parent company, Skims.
Hangman says, I know the kind of champion that I want to be, and it's a champion who shows nipple, real nipple.
And I think that's so fucking beautiful. And also now every time somebody is starting some IWC discourse about WBD wants this, WB wants that, I'm just going to say, what about their parent company, Skims? What does Skims want?
What does Skims want? I mean, maybe it makes sense of some body transformations we've seen before people have become champions. So that's how? Skims.
Oh my God, they've got those Kardashian butt workouts. That's what's happening.
That's why all the butts are so good now.
The butts and the thighs.
How much effort do you think it would take to persuade Trish and Sarah just like casually discussing WBD's parent company?
They're not going to like it. Do we have anything we could blackmail him with? Let's talk. Hey, like guys, let's take this offline, okay? Oh,
I've got a lot of blackmail. Let's discuss this. True. I've Perfect. Got a lot of blackmail.
Perfect. You'll be hearing more about that. Okay, Hangman is teaming up with Jetspeed next week to fight Dralistico, Roosh, and the Beast Mortos. So two parts of this. First, is there any reason for Hangman...
I asked that in our channel because I was like, did I miss something? And the consensus is it's just faces teaming up, which is fine. I actually respect the idea of Hangman being like, as champ, I have to, you know, try to unionize the good guys. All I'm saying is if you had time to film a Smarky Mark MVP and Speedball stupid promo,
you had time
to make Hangman shake Speedball's hand and say something, you know, grounding.
Well, and I think on that point, the other thing that I have here is that, so on Collision, Max Caster had his first successful defense of his 5-minute challenge against Roosh. Roosh came out, and this is you guys already know because you saw it, but this was related in a moment. Roosh came out and was just like, I'm so sexually aroused about just absolutely annihilating Max Caster. I thought I had seen before I watched these Collision clips, I had seen that Max Caster successfully lasted 5 minutes in the ring. Mm-hmm. And when I saw it was against Roosh, I was like, what do you mean? What happened there? But then it did make perfect sense when I watched it. It's just like Roosh was like, I don't care about a clock. I care about murdering you. And I'm going to for as long as I like. So Roosh murders him, and then he loses technically, and then immediately brutally murders him some more. Dralistico, Beast Mortos are out there. They come out, they're murdering. Everyone's murdering. And then Jetspeed and AR Fox come out to save Max Caster. And is there precedent for that?
It makes no sense.
Max Caster?
He's not
as Leah said
face.
In our channel, none of this would fly on our pumps, okay?
At our pumps?
You'd know if Max Caster had allies backstage.
You would understand the relationships.
I think at our gas station, we might have something that I'm going to call a friendship pump that there's never any wrestling on. It's just all like 24/7 background friendship stuff that you can just go check in on now and then to like learn about friendships you didn't know about, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
I just got so upset that I can't go to that pump.
I know. That's all I want. Was it Taz who was like, oh, there are a lot of friendships around here that would surprise you or something like that?
Yeah.
A lot of clicks. Yeah.
The most hateful thing you ever said and not followed up on ever. I think the idea of anyone, and I do think that Max Caster is being successfully baby-faced by this gimmick.
Hardcore, yeah.
But at this stage, the idea that anyone would run out to save him from the fruits of his own, right. You know,
the consequences of
the consequences of his own actions, ludicrous to me.
Yeah. I know. Even Jetspeed, who seems so nice.
I would kill for a backstage segment where, like, Jetspeed is feeling very, like, proud of themselves. And, like, we're little heroes. We save people. And Max Caster says something repulsive to them. And they're sort of like, oh, my God, we're not coming out ever again.
It is a little bit like, you know, like on Veep, how they all like bullied Jonah like crazy. But then every time he opened his mouth, you were like, oh, yeah, you have to. Like,
he's you have no choice.
Yeah, it's legit. Like, that's Max Caster for sure.
Yeah. Man. Okay, here's an idea. So we're having all these, not that we don't always have this in wrestling, but we have a little confluence of all these like people saving each other. It's like, what's going on here? What if Hangman is doing what we've always said the world champion should do, and he's giving little locker room speeches, and he's like, if you see something, do something. Is someone getting beaten up and you're in a position to help, you're right there, a gorilla, and oh, I don't know that guy. No, we're all members of the human race. Okay, so you see a problem, you go out there and you help. You
do the right thing. Even if it's Max Caster, you go out there.
Someone raised their hand. They were like, what if it's Max Caster? And he
goes, yeah.
Even if it's Max Caster.
And then he's like, well, yeah. Even if it's I don't, but yeah, you still.
It's one of those scenes where it's like everyone has erupted into like, but Max Caster once said, I don't know. Guys, you don't have to be his friend. You just need to help him in the moment. We're all helping each other in the moment.
See, if they filmed that scene, then that would cover, like, so much of this.
They'd have
you know?
Goodwill for a year.
Yeah. It would be the happiest I've ever been. All right. This week on Collision, Athena formally challenged Tony for her belt at Forbidden Door and apparently said, no door is forbidden to me, Tony. When I activate, no one is going to stop me. And this is all now Pokemon talk to me.
Yeah.
Like, oh, she was getting into her Pokemon. And they're all getting into their Pokemon characters.
During our live watch this week, at one point you said, oh, and the Pokemon's desires are being stopped. Yeah. That's where we've learned the drama is. Yeah.
Yeah, we understand wrestling finally because of this Pokemon. Then Toni Storm and Alex Windsor got interviewed backstage by Renee on Dynamite and gave us some new insights into their clearly non-sexual friendship. This was a perfect interaction.
Oh, my God. Absolutely incredible. The fact that Tony has, in multiple promos, been like, and this is my non-sexual friend, is, like, so incredibly funny. And then when Windsor was, like, accidentally doing double entendres, and then, like, oh, my God, I'm doing it, too.
I'm doing it, too.
So funny.
She was making great faces, and then that moment was just like, oh, but that's perfect. That's a dynamic. We've got the dynamic.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
You,
beautiful.
And you did it. You establish it by doing almost nothing. It's like, she's game, she's confused, and she's like, wow, you do have a pretty, you've got a real, what am I trying to say? Like, a big personality, and it catches you. It catches you in its grip.
Yeah. You're a big porch light, and we're all just moths getting sucked in.
My God, why have I been circling this light for an hour? So I thought this was wonderful. And then Windsor then fought Queen Aminata, Billy Starks, and Sky Blue in a Forbidden Door TBS title qualifier match. Athena attempted to interfere to give Billy Starks the edge, but Tony, clad in a caftan and a cheetah print headscarf, which I thought was
incredible.
A lovely little look.
So good.
Appeared out of nowhere, and she dragged Athena from the ring, and Windsor managed to get the win. Mercedes came out to confront Windsor because, of course, she has that belt, which we all know, and it's easy for us to track who has what belt, but she has that belt.
There's not too many belts to track in at all.
No, certainly not.
I've been confused by seeing any of them.
I totally forgot to say in the MJF section, that was genuinely one of the scarier moments of my week was after MJF won his match and was holding up a belt. And I just thought, he doesn't have a belt. What belt is that? And I just don't know about this belt. And I'm like, I truly was even scared to ask you guys, what belt is that? I was like, I have to go to a doctor. And then I found out that it was a CMLL belt that he only won a week ago. And I said, thank fucking God. And you might say, like, commentary brought it. I don't know what commentary brought up. Don't talk to me about that. I don't know what they said. It was late in the evening. I was very relieved to realize I wasn't supposed to have been tracking that belt for months. God. Anyway, so Mercedes has the, you know, she comes out to be like, Windsor, we're going to be at it. And they did some really lovely kissing pose. Mm. I'm all in on Windsor. I love Windsor.
I love her. She's so cute.
Really charming me. And she was so funny with Tony this week that I was like, all right, you got a lot to offer. Not just the cuteness.
Everything about you, your personality, your charming personality. So she does some kissing pose with Mercedes, and Mercedes has come out. I think this is innovation. She has how many belts now?
Eight, I believe.
8 belts. And what had she done with them?
She hooked them all to another belt around her waist. Yeah. So they were like hanging in some kind of strange skirt. And then she got into the ring and started unclipping them one by one and handing them to Aubrey, who kept thinking she was done and going to turn away, and then there'd be another one. And Aubrey was honestly a contender for Mommy's Little Ham in this moment, because she just kept being like, oh, okay, all right. No, another one. Oh, okay.
I think she kind of like buckled at one point. Like, she almost went to her knees, and I was like, is she going to kneel for Mercedes? That's not nothing. I don't mind that. But then I realized she was just Hamily being like, God, they're heavy, which I love as well. There's really no wrong answer. So Mercedes had her belt skirt. Tony entered the ring as backup for Windsor, but then she got snuck up on by Athena, who laid her out, and then Mercedes laid out Windsor, and then Mercedes and Athena exchanged kind of a long look that was like, well, we're both doing our own evils right now, but perhaps someday we'll touch again. And I like that very much. No complaints. And then I will. The only other thing is that as Athena was leaving the ring with Billy Starks was draped all over her in a way that was just like, and that's what a minion's for.
Yeah.
And that's what a minion is for, to just be like draped over you, like, oh, I love having an evil villain boss. And you're so beautiful.
Yeah. Was great work. I feel like they're doing a really good job now with all the women of having like just a lot of interlocking storylines in a very fun way.
Yeah, it is.
And it's fun really for them nice. All to have personalities and motivations that aren't just like, you pissed me off in a promo backstage, so now I'm mad at you. You know, there's a lot of weird stuff going on.
Yeah. A lot of weird big personalities. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's like Tony at the helm, but I feel like all the women are getting weirder week by week. Like watching Mercedes this week, I was like, you are so much weirder than when you started, and it's so good, you know? It rocks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of weird, Chris Statlander fought a jobber on Collision and squashed her. And then on her, she was leaving and she was on the ramp kind of like vamping, and Willow's music hit. So they passed on the ramp. Chris was kind of darkly emoting, and Willow was clearly pointedly ignoring her. That's great. I love a little reinforcement of like, that's what's going on. Perfect.
Chris does such a good face when Willow's music hit too, of like, yes, oh God, here we go.
Yeah. So I thought that was a really nice, quick little touch. And then Willow was coming out to fight Tekla, which is the only thing that she'd been talking about all week. And she had Tekla had her new girl gang ringside for the match. So that's Triangle of Madness, and it's Sky Blue and Julia Hart and Tekla as goth girls. Not goth girls. Don't come at me. You know what I mean. Kind of like they're at Hot Topic. You know what I mean.
They're not
alternative girls.
Alternative girls.
You know the way, like, in when you're in high school, it's like, you know, you don't have a really, really specific clique, actually. It's just kind of like a number of girls who are a little off. Something weird about them. And it's like, you'll find people who are a little more like you in college. But for now, you're all each other have. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Have we talked about Triangle of Madness or...
No, I think it happened on Collision, it and did, I actually missed that announcement of their name, and I couldn't tell from what people were saying whether the Triangle of Madness was their new name or the formerly Patriarchy's new name. And I kept being like, I want to be able to figure this out from context because I don't want to have to ask. And so, like, it took me almost all week before I figured out who they were.
Okay. Unexpected intergender feud idea. It's that the new patriarchy do also want to be called the Triangle of Madness. And so it's Kip Sabian, Nick Wayne, and Mother Wayne are having matches versus Julia, Sky, and Tekla for the name.
Honestly, I'd be so fun. And I'd love then if they ended up by becoming a super group at the
end. Oh my God, yeah.
I think that'd be really fun.
And for to have Mother Wayne just saying things like, I always wished you were a girl.
Finally, I have a daughter and had a wretched son.
Okay, another hot new idea for adults.
Once again, our pumps, they'd be on fire with all the good ideas we come up with.
They would be hopping. Okay, so Willow has this match. She loses. Post-match, she's getting beaten down by Triangle of Madness, and then Megan Bain and Penelope Ford come out to also beat her up, which is like... It's like they heard Hangman's thing and we're just like, well, I guess I'm a bad guy. So if I see something, I'll do something too. Just get out there and make it worse.
I was obsessed with Tony Schiavone being like, oh God, it was 3-1. And now Penelope's here and it's going to be 4-1. And oh God, Megan Bain is walking towards the ring. And when she gets there, it's going to be 5-1.
Tony, that's why they pay you the big bucks. Because you can count. So eventually, Queen Aminata and TJ ran out for the save. So then on Dynamite, Renee interviewed Aminata post-4-way. Willow kind of cut in during the interview with, did you think this was a weird energy? I don't trust myself anymore. It was a kind of a crazed energy.
Oh, no,
right?
it was crazy.
Okay, yeah.
Great. Yeah. Yeah. So she comes in, she's, Aminata, baby, I'm so sorry. I know things did not go your way tonight, but I think you did so great. And we're going to take care of Sky, and we're going to be doing great, and we're going to get that Triangle of Madness, and we've got this under control. Kind of vibrating with it. And then Chris slinks on in, and she interrupts, and she also has quite a deranged little tone.
Oh, yeah.
And she's really clearly being like, oh, Willow, just women supporting women. This is amazing. You showed up for me last week, and now I'm here showing up for you and you and you in honor of womanhood. And so they're kind of giving each other a look. And Willow finally responds, and it's just like, girl, you keep saying that you're moving on, and actually you're really obsessed with me. You're like crazy obsessed with me. So I wish you would like get yourself under control a little bit. And then,
but I think Willow was like seemed more like manic about Chris than she has been. Like she has been treating Chris a little bit like she's like, why won't you go away? But they both had this energy when they were talking to Aminata of like they're talking to her, but they're continuing a fight they were having like an hour ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it was very interesting.
Their tones were so similarly insane that it was kind of a folie à deux situation where it was like, oh, you guys are locked in and spiraling together. And I love to see that. And actually, I think Aminata wanted the mommy's little ham in the background because she and Renee was there too.
Yeah.
And Chris was like draping herself over Renee and kind of hugging her in a way that was like so weird. And I loved it.
It was amazing. It was physical. She pulled some confetti out of Renee's pocket and I mean, napkin confetti and threw it on everyone. I think Aminata's face is amazing. I want to say I think this was a tour de force night for Renee, who had so many segments where she was just talking to a maniac and just had to do her like light facial reactions of just like, well, I'm being professional, but we all see that this is fucking crazy, right? I have to say, no one does that like Renee.
No.
She's so good at that face. And like every time on Dynamite, like Alicia Atout was doing so many segments. And every time she's on, I'm like, I'm sorry, but you are garbage compared to Renee. Yeah. This is no good.
I also, I don't remember which segment I was watching her in, but I was like, I can see that you understand that you should do this thing that Renee does where it's like kind of like you're trying to hide a reaction, but you're having a reaction. And I said, but I can see the seams. It's not that perfect, seamless performance of Renee Paquette.
There's a reason that they say the remarkable Renee Paquette every time she's out there, and they never give an epithet for any other backstage interviewer.
The only other one who's earned it, of course, is Alex Marvez.
That's true.
And what? Alex, you come back anytime.
Okay, anytime. Anytime. Please.
Please. Just because we're not saying anything doesn't mean we're not thinking about you. Mm-hmm. Okay? We always Constantly. Are.
You're always in our heart.
You're always on my mind. You're always on my mind.
God, immediately, I'm trying to feed you, what was it, belladonna?
I know. Literally, I was just immediately, I go, we have to have midnight margaritas with Alex Marvez. That's now, okay, a fun idea for AEW. Maybe that's a contest that you run. And that's the prize. It's Midnight Marvez with Alex Marvez. And maybe you don't tell anybody but us about the contest, and we win it easily.
We might be the only people who enter it, even if they told everyone about it, and then that was the prize.
You think maybe it wouldn't be the hottest prize of all time?
I wish they had him for StarCast at All Out and like or All In, and everybody was like racing to get the StarCast for like Hangman and stuff, and we're the only ones who have like we bought out Alex Marvez's line.
Like, we don't want anyone else to get to experience it. It's all for us. Like, there were only three tickets because we knew it was for you. We knew it was for you little freaks. You'll be sorry when I learn so much about the backstage landscape. All right. Let's move on. The Young Bucks continue to suffer indignities in the workplace before, during, and after their match versus Brodito, Bandido, and Brody King. We started, they had a backstage interview with Renee where she was being like, Brodito seemed like a really good tag team. Seems like they could beat you.
She also forgot their names for a minute. She was like, oh, and it's the Young Bucks. It was just so perfectly done where you could just feel her like looking for it in her Rolodex. Where she's like, I know them.
I'll learn it eventually, guys. They're mad. They're like, we're still founding fathers. Show us some respect. Matt grabs a production assistant who's going by, and it's just like, there have been some mishaps in recent weeks. It's not happening again. Treat us with respect. Put on our real song. Put up our real graphics. Like, and then you're going to see Justin Roberts. I have a note for Justin Roberts, and he's going to announce us the way that we deserve to be announced, the way that a star should be announced. He hands off this note, and he says, did you get all of that? The production guy says, yeah.
The production guy was doing such hammy but silent, like, I'm understanding and hearing what you're saying, that I was like, is he not, like, allowed to speak? But then he kind of did, and I was like, huh.
I love anytime someone's playing to the cheap seats, I say, you know what you're doing. Yeah. Now, girls, did they end up having a seamless and respectful entrance to their match?
No. People around here are fucking fickle.
Such a great new catchphrase. Well, what went wrong for our poor little Young Bucks?
Our beautiful boys got their smoke and their music and their entrance, and then the banner didn't go up, and they had to really humiliatingly crawl underneath it. It was bad.
And it was so funny, and the crowd was cracking up, and I was saying, like, no one has ever made a crowd happy like a Young Buck.
It was the perfect thing for them to do after that interview with Justin Barrasso came out yesterday. I was fucking losing it because the whole like interview was just them going, there's nothing in life that's worth more than getting laughed at. That's what's important. You guys think things are important? Yes! They're not. What's important is getting laughed at.
Comedy.
And if you're not okay being the butt of the joke, you went into the wrong business. Which is like, yeah, seriously, some of you could hear it.
Yes, some of you need to hear that more strongly. Listen up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, perfect.
I mean, you simply love to see it. It was incredibly funny. They had what had happened to their theme music. They've got this little weird version of
it started regular halfway. But then then like a video game like MIDI version came so on.
You had someone, Tony Schiavone being like, set a ringtone.
And their pyro was just like little sad one-offs.
Instead of local team, they got called Max and Jeremy.
Max and Jeremy.
And we understood that.
We understood that reference.
Actually, I guess that won't really surprise. They're like, oh, you knew a Young Bucks fact? Yeah, well, okay. But yeah.
People are always trying to come in and like, oh, you might not know this about like Dustin Chuck Taylor. And it's like, oh, no, we know all about that. Nope. Don't worry about it. There are a few subjects that were quite knowledgeable.
It turns out if we're motivated, we return facts.
Yeah. Like the issue is that there's just a misalignment between us and most members of the IWC about what facts you should learn. Mm-hmm. most people would say the facts we've learned are not the top facts, but we'd say like they're the only facts that matter. Yeah. Max and Jeremy Buck. They were wearing, it was mix and match gear. I mean, they were wearing the Navy naval jackets, yeah. But then they were wearing different pants. Did you think that was meant to communicate that they're in dire straits? Because I kind of thought it was.
I didn't think about that till right now, but that is funny.
I thought it was. I thought they were like, oh, they're having to reuse gear, and yeah.
It's funny because it's like, it's totally nonsensical, like, if you actually think about it, but it does, to me, it did really clearly communicate what they wanted it to communicate. And I have to say, when I saw those naval jackets the first time, I freaked out, but every time I see them again, I'm just like, thank God they're doing naval cosplay. Yeah. I love it. This is my favorite gear they've ever had, and I wish I could see them in it all the time. And I wish I could see them at sea. I'd love to see them at sea. And if they ever want to like try to get some roles in like a new Master and Commander movie, I would I would support them in that.
Maybe we gotta book that Jericho cruise.
Okay. Master and Commander Jericho cruise. Has Jericho even thought about that as a potential theme?
He
Master
should. And Commander. Jericho, if you're listening.
Which I know you are.
Big J, of course you're listening.
Big J, we're your biggest fans.
We're your biggest fan. We may be your only fans now. People are saying hurtful things every day. Like, Big J isn't coming back. Like, Big J has fallen off too much. Like, Big J can never win the crowd back. Big J should
go back and...
I'm like, what do you mean?
He should go back to WWE and do a final run there. Okay, that's very hurtful.
You're literally hurting my feelings. I'm just a girl, and you're hurting my feelings. What if you go to WWE? I'd never see him again. I never see that man.
So you want him to die for me? You want him to be dead to me?
The only time I'll see him is if someone throws a rubber chicken on top of him in the ring after a humiliating loss.
You want him to go to WWE and die. I want him to stay at AEW and host a Master and Commander themed cruise. We are not the same. Okay, so first of all, this match was a total fucking blast. Yeah. Unsurprising, but had truly the time of my life, and I felt like I didn't have that many thoughts. I know many were very excited about Brodito. I hadn't really thought about it. I hadn't really connected to them. But in the magic of this match, I thought, okay, yeah, I love it. I think they're doing great together. That being said, there was something a little scary happening, and what was it about Lil Bandito being in that ring?
Dude, Bandito's beautiful, luscious locks, they're so beautiful, and he can't be allowed to wrestle the Young Bucks in the exact same gear as the Young Bucks, because multiple times I was like, now why is Matt beating up Nick?
Why is Nick destroying Matt? I thought if Nick did that spot where he was like slamming Bandito's head into the barrier, and I was like, don't do that to your brother. You love him. Stop. Oh, God. Okay, yeah.
And in fact, at the end, because we were all wanting the Young Bucks to lose so that they wouldn't have to fight FTR, mm-hmm. and so they lost, and then Leah put a skull in the group chat, and I thought she had reverted to her old ways of being like, I can't root against him. I just never can root against him. And it turned out she just had thought that Bandito was Matt Jackson.
I was like, oh, Bandito lost. Bandito took the pin. No. It was Matt.
Bandito does have an absolutely perfect little body. Oh, it is. It was kind of the best body in the ring.
Wow.
Now that's
Young
hurtful.
Bucks take those
just,
abs off.
It's just because talking of those abs. It's just because of those abs. It's only because of those abs. You know that.
Wow.
You
know that. Listeners, Allie seems to be appreciating muscles. She's a muscle girl now.
No, it's juicy. He had that juicy. He had juicy. He juicy, Leah. It's not, they're not firm. They're soft.
I'm playing that clip for Matt Jackson.
Stop. I repent. I can't. I'm scared again. I didn't want to be scared again tonight.
No, he was. Bandito was really, really, like, really juicy, really beautiful.
Really, really, really good.
Good.
And again, we were rooting against, it doesn't come naturally, but we were really rooting against our Young Bucks, because if we had to see them fight FTR again, we were going to fucking plot.
Yeah.
I mean, the girls were not thriving about it.
No. I was really scared. I was like, they don't have any other forbidden door matches lined up. This is going to happen to me. I'm going to have to pretend to fucking watch FTR again. This is terrible. No. Thank God. Thank you, Young Bucks. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Young Bucks. they were happy to lose. They always are. So Brodito will fight FTR in the old semifinals, and then the winner, or in the finals, and then the winner will fight the Hurt Syndicate at Forbidden Door. And we did get, this is part of the MVP promo. Oh my God. Guys, I feel like someone heard me. I mean, not someone, just my friend Anna. I just got a text message from her saying, want to make frozen margaritas this weekend. After we were just saying that margarita stuff. Do you think Alex Marvez will be there?
Anna, are you on the Zoom? Yeah. Are you communicating with Alex Marvez? I feel like if you invited Alex Marvez for frozen margaritas, there's a good shot he might show up.
I think
And
so.
I'd make enchiladas or something, too. I could sweeten the pot.
I wonder where he lives.
Anne just reached for her keyboard in a way that I immediately was like, she's about to DM Alex Barbeck.
Hey, where's your house?
Hey, where's your house? We're bringing margaritas over.
Mark's this weekend, kink? Okay. What was I fucking saying? Oh, the backstage promo where MJF was being a little manipulatable boy with MVP. At the beginning of that promo, before MJF showed up, MVP was being like, my boys love fighting anyone. No matter what you may have read in the dirt sheets, they are happy to fight and happy to lose. And they love all the other teams here, and they can't wait to fight one of these wonderful teams, whoever happens to win the tournament. What do you guys think about, I don't know, where we're heading? FTR, Brodito, Hurt Syndicate.
I could see Brodito going all the way if Hurt Syndicate allegedly wants to put over younger teams, and if Hurt Syndicate, as they seem to be, are a little concerned about the bad press coming out this week, which I would love.
I would love that, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm at my leisure to see a good, fun match that isn't just the Hurt Syndicate beating the shit out of somebody for, you know, 10 minutes straight. So if they want to repair, I made jokes about it later, but that little backstage segment between Speedball and MVP was very cute. And if they want to turn things around and do things that are good instead of things that are bad, I am open to watching that. But listen, if you just end up fighting FTR and then like winning against FTR, like you deserve everything you get.
But also, okay, so the thing that I don't think that would be good, but I don't mind watching FTR get humiliated, actually, so I don't care that much about it. I was like, do you think FTR are going to actually win? Like, maybe they would consent to relinquish the titles to FTR, and that scares me.
I don't like that.
That frightens me.
That's
does feel very plausible, and it would be so boring.
And many have said, you know, like, FTR have really... they've been really well behaved this year. They've kind of been rehabilitating themselves. They've been doing a program that we even had a passionate interest in for a brief while before other things also got better on the show, and then they got Stokely, and I had said they need a spokesperson, and I hate myself for saying
the combination of adding Stokely and Cope to their vibe ruined it, but I'm not mad at them.
No, but they've behaved within the whatever.
Yeah, it is true though. I keep thinking about the thing I think Leah said on a couple podcasts ago where it was like, either hit a home run or hit yourself in the face with the bat. I don't want anything in between. And it's like, they were hitting themselves in the face with the bat, and it was great. They're just out at first.
It's like, because it was just banana peel time. It was just banana peel time every week.
Full banana pump.
But so anyway, many have said, you know, like, well, maybe they would be okay, and maybe we should give them the benefit of the doubt. And I'm not there yet. You know, I'm not there yet because they've not given any indication that they would be in interesting pair of tag team champions. Because what are they going to do? I feel they'll just revert.
Yeah.
I feel it's just trading one Hurt Syndicate for another Hurt Syndicate. Yeah. Really.
Yep.
To me.
Yeah. And they had such a long and boring title reign. It's like they owe me like a year of being fun before they can come anywhere near that belt.
Right. And it's like ramp up the fun then. Maybe be a little funner than you're being.
Yeah. If they were being fun right now, it'd be like, well, maybe, but.
I feel trepidatious. I'd love if Brodito won.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'd be really fun. I mean,
that's my like them winning in a good, interesting match would be like my ideal outcome. Yeah. Even them losing in a good, fun match is better to me than FTR winning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That being said, it really runs contrary to the beliefs of this podcast that two men who within the past month have become a tag team would be able to triumph.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
It's
but it's like
that sickens me a little as well.
I know, but it's like the tag division is in such tatters that our belief system is constantly being like pulled out.
Yeah. It's like I'd literally rather have like a fun new tag team win than like FTR who have been a committed couple for so long, but they're so boring.
FTR gimmick idea. They have lost the spark, and actually it's just Queer Ultimatum again, I guess.
Everything comes like, back to you.
Something always leads me back to you. I guess I was going to say, like, they have to go on some kind of a journey to, like, renew the spark of their marriage, but I guess it probably is, it's probably just Queer Ultimatum, so.
Although it would be kind of fun if it was like, okay, you guys are going to split up and you're going to pick a new tag partner from any of the tag teams and then, you know, and then see if that makes you want to renew your bond or not.
I can't believe that it somehow hadn't occurred to me when we discussed this last week. That when you do Queer Ultimatum with tag teams, I guess that's just the ultimate, whatever. that when you do it with tag teams, they would be fighting matches the whole time with their new tag partner. I somehow hadn't even thought. I was just like, they're in a house. They're just in their apartment.
They're just in an apartment, like, making out. And
you were just thinking about the regular TV show.
Yeah. There was, for some reason, there was a limit to my imagination in the moment, but now I've understood, like, what we said, and I'm like, no, that was a really good idea. That was actually a really good idea. And actually very suited to wrestling television. There's no reason that you couldn't have a tournament where it's, like, put all the tag team names in a bin, and it's, like, a fucking, you know, key party. And we can't get into that again, because I got yelled at last time it came up about, like, you don't know how swinging works. Yeah, I've never done it.
You've never been to a key party?
I've never been to a fucking key party, okay? I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. You guys are so worldly and refined. You've been to tons of key parties.
That is the demographic of our listeners, just been to tons of key parties.
Key party crew. Oh, God. All right. Okay, let's move on. Speaking of FTR, Cope and Stoke TR both got backstage promos on Dynamite. Cope's promo, first one, he was like, Christian apologized the other week, sucked ass. Really fucking bad apology, doesn't seem that sorry, and also seems pretty busy with his ex-family Kuehl, so I can't be getting into all that. I don't have the time for that. My focus is on FTR, and I remain very mad at them. I don't like them at all, so I just got off the phone with Tony Khan, and I've got a little match lined up for next week versus Stokely Hathaway. And then he said, he looked at the camera, he said, FTR, if you guys interfere, your whole restraining order is null and void, so you have a choice. Do you interfere and open up the door to me kicking your asses, or do you stand there and throw Stokely to the wolf? And trust me, I will tear him apart slowly, piece by piece. And I said, I don't know that we had to articulate all the thinking. I mean, leave something for the viewer to do.
he was like, when he was complaining about Christian's apology, he was like, and he's an asshole. And it's like, yeah, he said that too. Like, I don't know that we need to hammer all the same beats all the time.
It's like, yeah, he's an asshole. He said it, and you're an asshole.
Right. You're not coming off that great either.
I also loved the logic of the restraining order bit. It's like, if someone has a restraining order against you, all you have to do is trick them into engaging with you.
Yes.
And the moment they do, it's uno reverse, restraining order's done.
Yes, I think that's how the law works.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how the court sees it, for sure.
Yeah. So then he leaves. He's grinning. Well, two things here. One, to say all of that, just something about his face is just like, you're not a good man. And that can be a positive in wrestling.
Yeah.
To see the face that he makes and say that. But like, it's just like, you're a megalomaniac.
Yeah.
And you can't act like any of this is moral, ethical behavior. Like, even though you did get wronged, I still don't believe you.
I know. It is kind of like, well, but what if the child has bad vibes? It's a little how I feel about Cope.
The other thing I want to say is, do you feel like there's been a market uptick recently in people ostentatiously being like, and I went and talked to Tony Khan. If so, do you think, like, the major takeaway that I have about it is it's happened a lot throughout the time we're watching wrestling. Mm-hmm. And it is funny when it happens. But somehow over the past few weeks, I've gotten to the point where I heard that and I was like, okay, we'll give him a break. Just don't you have some kind of online portal where you can submit a match request? Like, are you guys using the tools that you're supposed to be using? Like, do you need some documentation about like how to ask for a match? Like, you can't all be going to stop it. He has a life, okay? Leave him alone.
And that would be the funniest backstage segment, too, for Tony to have this hunted look on his face trying to cut through a corridor, and Cope pops out of nowhere, and he's like, I really want a match with Stokely. And Tony Khan, like, over one shoulder, is like, Stokely, he's not even a wrestler. Leave me alone.
Use the online portal. And Cope's like, it's not an option to choose him in the online portal. Tony's like, yeah, just use the online portal.
Didn't we get you hooked up to Tubi? Use Tubi, please. Don't you have access to Tubi? The portal's there. It's Tubi. Tubi is for you. Please. We get a little segment that's just like him like cornering Christopher Daniels and being like, you have to tell them to use Tubi. Please, can you just send out another memo this week?
They're following me to my car, CD. I can't do this.
Tony's driving away from the venue and someone just pops up in the backseat. And I'd really love to have a match with.
Tony's screaming in the front seat and almost driving up the road. Oh my gosh.
I just think let's get that HR, let's put that HR department to work, you know, and let's just have some boundaries, you know. Okay, so then FDR got a rebuttal to Cope's promo, the gist of which is that they wish they didn't have to murder Cope, but they definitely will be murdering him. And Stokely had a funny little segment. He said, I can't believe at your big age you have chosen to do that. Funny. He is very funny.
He's
very funny. This is the one that Alicia Atout was there and was trying to do some face acting, and I can't say that it was the greatest face acting I've ever seen.
Not that remarkable.
It wasn't that remarkable. And then he ended by saying, he says, next week the fight continues in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'm going to do it because that's what my boss asked me to do, and I'm going to do it with a smile on my face. I've written here, all of wrestling is a commentary on capitalism. So, I don't know. Reflect on that.
Yeah. We're all non-wrestlers being threatened by wrestlers, and we have to do it because our boss is making us.
And with a smile on our face.
Our boss is saying, I can't talk to him anymore. You just do it.
Yes, fine, you can have the match.
It's like, just leave me alone.
Christopher Daniels is maybe there being like, he doesn't have a wrestling contract. Tony's like, I don't care. Murder him if you have to. I don't care. I don't want to hear anything about this again unless it's through Tubi. Kyle Fletcher won the TNT title off of Dustin Rhodes on Collision by doing, I didn't watch the whole match, but I believe it to have been a very violent murder. And then he specially murdered Dustin's knee, but carefully.
Waffly Waffly said on her podcast that he very, very carefully found the knee pad and then put the screwdriver there, which I thought was very sweet.
That's so nice. Anytime wrestlers are really taking care of each other's bodies in the ring, I think that's quite sweet. And I endorse it. And I believe Dustin Rhodes is, he got knee murdered and he is heading off to get a double knee replacement, I believe.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, if he's doing both at once, that's pretty rough. My mom did them 4 months apart and that was pretty rough.
Well, if anyone's...
All our best to him and his
family. Our traditional best to him and Cody. And I think if anyone's tough enough for it, it's Dustin. So you get it done. You big old Michelin, Mr. Michelin. No, that's not his name.
Michigan J. Frog. I have so much goodwill for him right now because I'm like, he really kept them talking until we got to our seats. He did that for us.
And we needed him really.
We needed that for him, and he came through. Not many wrestling men come through for us, but hey, Mr. Frog, he did.
He cried just the right amount of time. Yeah.
Dustin Rhodes, you're our guy for life now. Not in that we want you to have any more titles or anything or really do anything, but we want your knees to be good. We want you to really like your new knees. We want you to have a really high quality of life, and you're welcome to cry on TV for us anytime again that you would like to. So thank you for that. Then on Dynamite, the Callis family had an in-ring segment where, for the first time in a long time, Don had brought some new art for his new, not that new anymore, but his tall, horny son. He said, this guy's going to want some weird art. And had a little promo back and forth about, thank you, Papa. I can't wait to see my art. I'm desperate for my art. Kyle was saying some Randy shit. Just really Randy. Scary Randy. And then the art was revealed. And what did we see? Oh, what did we see?
Oh, my God. It was Kyle naked with the belt around his hips. And then Don Callis kind of like next to him, but sort of cradling him, like not naked, but with a shirt open.
He's wearing a mesh shirt, actually, because I thought he was shirtless at first, but then in the close-up, it was a mesh shirt and then like jeans.
And he's
like
ripped low as hell, guys.
Oh, he's so ripped.
Unbelievably ripped.
I mean, we've seen him in an oil painting with Kenny before shirtless.
Of course, but, I'd forgotten just how ripped, but that's on me. Wow.
Yeah, and in kayfabe, he paints these himself, which I was interested to hear. I mean, he's quite talented.
Very talented.
Really puts a new spin on the Don Callis mansion, a place that I'm sick that we've never been back to.
I know why. That dinner they had where Brian Cage was so out of the vibe dress-wise. Also in this promo, Don Callis said, why am I building the largest numerical faction in history for wrestling? Which I love that he called out how many people he's recruiting, because we have wondered how many bunk beds he could possibly have in his
home. Because I think, did he try to, there was another Collision segment, I think, where he maybe was trying to recruit Shane Taylor again? Yeah. That could be wrong.
Well, it's not clear because he's definitely taking advantage of Shane Taylor, but it's not clear how deep he wants that relationship to go.
I can't stop thinking now about the Don Callis mansion. Like, it started out, it was like, that's a place where he's training them. It's serious. It's evil. More and more, like, as more and more men join, and then we learn that Don Callis is working on his oil paintings, it's like, I'm imagining more of, like, a Little Men Joe's Boy kind of, Joe's Boys kind of vibe, where it's just, like, boys are running, it's a boys' school, boys are running rampant, who knows what they're getting up to. Don Callis is just, like, working on his art, and just occasionally being like, Brian, stop hitting your brother.
They're sliding down the banister, they're taking care of the chickens out back, like, they're getting into all kinds of mischief.
It's one of those things where he's like, who saved who?
I think it might actually be quite wholesome.
And
if you don't want me to think that, show me the mansion again, cowards.
Yeah, show us the unwholesome mansion if it's not wholesome.
If it's actually a place of rank evil, put it on TV and let us all see it. Let us all see the bad stuff happening there. Otherwise, I'll continue to assume it's fun.
I love that you're saying this after a promo in which Don Callis had some of the most frank, horny vibes about Kyle, where it became clear that I was like, somebody should be a mandated reporter. Get Kyle away from this man. And Kyle's like, no, don't.
Kyle has a nice big age, okay? If he and Don want to have some kind of something, that's fine. They're grown, consenting adults.
Allie, please, there's an age gap.
Kyle is child-coded. Oh, my gosh. Greg wasn't there, which I was really rip shit about. I was mad.
Yeah, that's not okay.
Fucking furious. I can't believe we'd never even... There's no reason that we would have talked about it, but I can't believe that OC and Dustin went to that little red carpet for whatever that dumb movie was, but they said it was so funny.
Oh, I know.
It's called, like...
Naked Gun. Naked
oh,
Gun.
No, it was... Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Naked Gun. Spaghetti Diaries.
Yeah.
thing. But they looked really happy there, and I so thought... Cute. It sickens me that it brings you so much joy not to be on my TV.
I know. But just hanging out with, like, Paul Walter Hauser, which was, I had a lot of questions about, like, why they and Hook were the specific people. Yeah. And it was like, did you guys just really hit it off with him? So he invited you specifically? Or were you sent by WBD? Like,
slash
surely not. Or was OC sent? And then he was like, I'm taking Dustin.
I have to bring my emotional support. That sounds fairly reasonable. The WBD would be like, Orange Cassidy, we'd love for you to go to this. And he goes, I traditionally bring my best friend, so.
Yeah, he needs to go.
Probably bring my best friend.
Do I have a plus one?
I assume there's a plus one, yeah.
yeah, interested in that. But and then Swerve Okada, the feud also continues, and Swerve did get a promo about it on Dynamite, and I would not say that I took very much from that.
No, it was pretty, like, generic. Like, watching it, I was like, I think Swerve is so good. This is not his best work.
No.
But I think it's because Okada doesn't really give anybody anything to work with. So all they're left with is kind of like, well, he's a legend of Japanese wrestling, but I'm going to beat him, you know, which is, like, not really
juicy. We're falling right back to, like, the athleticism. Like, it's going to be the match. It's all about the match. And I was like, like, come on.
Yeah. I don't need to be told again that he's the greatest stadium wrestler of all time or whatever. That's actually not my business.
I'd love it if he showed that to me instead of everyone telling me it all the time. Because in AEW, he hasn't really broken that out for me.
That's true, too. But actually, I don't even care if I never see him do the greatest stadium show wrestling of all time. I'd love him to show me his heart. I hunger for it. I yearn to know what haunts you in the nighttime. Okada.
Anyway, I will say though, Swerve got this like in ring, and the Don Callis family were in ring, and MJF and Cope got backstage 2-minute segments, and I really loved that.
Yeah. It's a better balance for me for sure. Mm-hmm. And actually, again, as we said earlier, it was some of MJF's honestly best work of recent memory. So
I do think that he excels under a firm thumb.
Yeah, he just needs someone to be like, here. You have 2 minutes, and here's what you're going to talk about.
Yeah, and be like, and if you run over, we'll just cut it. So you better make sure it's good in 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it. Sometimes that's what we all need. Sometimes it's just a firm hand.
Yep, just a little more, some more guardrails around our terrible creative instincts.
God, but I wouldn't give a firm hand.
I'm begging every day for a firm hand. Artistically, I'm begging for a firm hand. okay, and then final topic of the night. So there was a collision promo where Kyle and Roddy.
It was so crazy.
It was absolutely wild. I couldn't have predicted any single moment of it.
For Kyle O'Reilly to have been so normal for like six months standing next to Adam Cole. The second Adam Cole is gone, when we'd been making jokes about him sucking the life force out of everyone around him.
Yeah.
Kyle suddenly gets so weird again.
And it was manically weird.
It was so perfect for Roddy to kind of serve as the audience stand-in, where Roddy was like, what's happening here? You were so funny too, a week ago.
And Roddy was like, I am really sad because my best friend Adam Cole is gone. And Kyle's like being like, hey, buddy. Like,
and Kyle was doing this weird thing where he was like, and that's just how we are in the conglomeration. I've always been in the conglomeration. I always will be. And that's just, it's not really factioned. It's a lifestyle. And it was like, oh, wow. A new cult is born. This is like, and I say it like, stay here forever. It's not a safe situation for you, Kyle. That much is very clear. I love that Roddy has one weird thing. He's like, I yell Kyle. I yell men's names, and I'm trying to connect with Kyle right now. I'm trying to get on his level, and but that's all I have, and he has everything. He has everything. He made us go to a Brazilian BBL party for my birthday.
They're like, it's Roddy's birthday. And Kyle's like elbowing him, like, didn't you have a good time? Say thank you. And then when Roddy was like, I'm actually really sad right now, Roddy, Kyle was like, you're embarrassing me in front of the conglomeration, which is so funny. It was all so weird. I loved every second of it.
Oh my God. The thing about Kyle O'Reilly that I must say, and it's just been true ever since I had that Omicron surge way back when, I'm not sure that there is a single, like, thread of his character that, like, I don't think it hangs together. I don't think anything he's ever done on AEW TV hangs together as, like, this is one character. And yet, he's the literal love of my life. When he gets in this mode, I go limp. I'm like, fuck, Kyle, take me away.
Yeah. I loved it. But it is such a funny turn. And to have, like, Roddy basically, like, acknowledging that it's a funny turn, but also there's no explanation. Like, it's like, why are you doing this? Like, why weren't you doing this the whole time? Like, what is going on?
And the fact that he was leaning on that, like, that it's like, you might have been wondering whether the conglomeration does exist. Well, it does exist. It does still exist. It's like, Are you gonna murder these guys? Are you gonna eat your friends? Are you gonna eat your friends who also like to eat people? Like, is the cult coming from inside the house? What's happening?
Is the conglomerating when you like cut pieces off their body and then make them part of your body by eating them? Is that the conglomerating? Like,
Roddy, I think we're gonna have a really special ceremony next week. I don't get it. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to get anything.
No. It was funny too, because it's like, if Mark Briscoe or OC had been there, I might have been like, oh, they're like bringing it out of him because he like, especially Mark Briscoe,
the
OG like
has the love of his life, Mark Briscoe.
Yeah, that would add up. Yeah.
But they weren't there. So.
And in fact, I actually can't, and I watched it, I can't in this moment picture anyone else who was there aside from Kyle. It's like the world is
Willow and Ishii was there.
And he goes here.
Oh, and the hologram.
Yeah. I don't know what
hologram and Ishii should not be bringing this out of Kyle. That's crazy. And Willow honestly shouldn't either. Like, well, it's not.
I think he listen, Willow, Stat, and Kyle have been huffing the same vent fumes in a big way.
Yeah.
So hugely. maybe it's a spreading madness. Like maybe it's like it's spread by contact. Contact.
It'll be interesting to see what Roddy gets up to next week, I think.
Yeah. I have another idea for our pumps though.
Perfect.
Remember that scene from New Girl when Nick is in the pool with the older Asian guy who's like holding him as like Nick tells him all his problems? I'd like to see Kyle and Ishii do that.
Oh my God. I do think that like watching Roddy do talk therapy sketches would be, I think, sublime entertainment. Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Going for the poor backstage therapist going from MVP to Kyle is so funny.
Roddy takes Kyle to the therapist and it's just like, something's wrong. Something's wrong with him. Like, we're sad. Our friend is gone. We're sad. And Kyle's like, I'm not sad. I'm the happiest I've been in years. I'm having the time of my life. I'm conglomerating. The therapist is like, I have to, one moment, please. I have to put in a request for a pay raise on Tubi. Really quickly. I've got to go to the online portal Tubi and request a pay raise.
Someone this week, and I'm sorry, I forget who, brought up that apparently Roddy said that Adam Cole taught him how to love and that learning to love his friends like led to him learning to love women. And I like need to go seek out.
Was that a shoot thing?
Yeah, like on a shoot podcast.
I'll be honest, I was startled as you started saying it. And then I thought, like, yeah. I could see if I had an Adam Cole in my life, I could see him being the person where it's like, and I realized that love is everything. I realized that it's so important to give and receive love in this world. And that's the only thing that matters. And he taught me that.
It's so funny for that end of that story to be like, and so I married Marina Shafir.
Well, he'd learned about love and then she taught him about fear.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. There you go.
Just kidding. I'm sure you guys have a normal, loving relationship. And but I hope it's weird. I really hope it's weird.
I hope you guys are getting up to some weird stuff.
Was there anything you want to talk about that you didn't get a chance to talk about?
No, I think we covered it all.
And more.
And more.
And more. Okay, well, let's not drag it out. On that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
This is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Grokin.
Dude, that sing-along has really been haunting you this whole podcast.
This is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Grokin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch, and Blue Sky at Tunnel Talk Pod via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. We have a souvenir stand. You can find it at chop-tees.com. And yes, our souvenirs are illustrated by Blurb, who you heard and loved last week. You can find us on our feed, on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out all the other great podcasts on the network, and you can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord. Maybe there'll be a poll there waiting for you. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay frosty, and as always, please come back next week.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.